Hello and welcome back to season three of Bo My God. I'm your host, Bo Bradley. My pronouns are he and they. Today, we're joined by a very special guest, someone who is a dear friend of mine, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. So welcome, Nana.
Hi there to every beautiful soul listening, including you, my love. My name is Ainara, but like my dear friend Bo says, everybody calls me Nana, mostly because first thing is my nickname. Second thing, I find myself as a foreigner in America that no one knows how to say my name, and I don't want no one feeling uncomfortable. So my preferred pronouns are she and her, and I am proud to say that even more in this week that I'm a lesbian woman. I came out of the closet as a bisexual by the age of 15. I think many of us have gone through that phase of not fully jumping. It's like we're tasting the waters to see what happens. Sure. But I'm proud and comfortable to say that I learned how to love myself and feel comfortable in my skin when I was 19, that I was actually a lesbian woman. And my life has been way easier since then, even though with all the obstacles they put us all out there. Thank you, society, for that. And I couldn't be happier to be here with this in this very amazing special week of Lesbians in the World. Please come out.
I love what you just said, because I think one of the common stereotypes and misconceptions about lesbians is that, where was I going with this? It just escaped my brain as I set it up.
That I came out as a bisexual at the beginning because I wasn't fully comfortable with my skin when I decided that, well, I did not decide it's who I am.
It is who
no
you
one
are.
Decides this. People out there, world out there, none of us choose one day. I want my life to be harder. I want to face more challenges because just as being a woman is not good enough, I'm going to choose also to be chaste and stereotyped just because I love to kiss girls.
Totally. Well said. And I remember it now. It was about the challenges and about how even with it being more difficult that you think it's actually easier. And I think there's a common misconception that a lot of people who are in the closet are told by people around them or are afraid themselves that once they come out, life will be too hard and it'll be too difficult. And I think it's the exact opposite.
It is the opposite if we're learning and looking towards ourselves inside. But it is true that it doesn't matter in which country you are. It doesn't matter who is your God, or even if you don't have a God, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. If people want to make your life miserable, they're always going to find a way to make your life miserable. And I don't know why they think that our way of living, our way of loving is ammunition that they can use against us, like it's something bad or something evil or something that it should be banned from the world.
That's beautiful.
They're lost.
Yeah, definitely. Before we get too far into it, I want to recap last episode. And what we talked about last time on Bo My God was with my spouse, Rose Bradley, who the day this airs will be their birthday. So happy birthday, Rose. And
happy birthday, Mom.
Love them. So what we talked about with Rose 2 weeks ago on Bo My God was about what it's like to travel as a non-binary person through TSA checkpoints in the airport. And Rose shared an experience they had literally just a few weeks ago when traveling back to the East Coast. We talked about the binary gender technology that is currently used to scan people by TSA and how they are actively working on solutions for that and other solutions for transgender and gender non-conforming travelers. So super excited about that. We also covered the G in LGBTQIA+. G is for gay, and recapped the Bo My God season 3 launch party at Rose Temple in Seattle. And we should have a total of the monies raised from that event for Cheer Seattle here in an episode or two. For full transparency, we are waiting a few final donations that come through Facebook to appear because they trickle in a little later. And then I can give you an absolute number. We're really excited about it. Thanks again to all of you who donated, who connected with us, or even just came to learn more about Cheer Seattle or Bo My God at that event. I'm still not over it. It's been one of my favorite things for a while. You were there, Nana. What do you think?
Oh my God, I have so much fun. It was amazing. It was beautifully and thoughtfully planned. You thought about every detail. You made sure that you had a certain amount of time with every and each one of us that went there. Kudos to Rose Temple. Amazing as always. They made these wonderful cocktails just for the event. They make sure that we were always having anything that we needed. Can we talk also about the amazing tunes of DJ Pretty Please? I love that woman. Like, I've seen her actually with you. It's going to be like my second time that we see her performing live in the moment. And I love it. It like her music really like, you cannot not dance. You cannot not feel that music crawling through like down your skin. I fell in love with the amazing Jenny Rock. She is sending a new music, a new EP coming soon. And I cannot wait to put it in my calendar. I met her wife. Oh my God, girl. Please keep writing music. Please keep performing because I'm going to be fangirling her and your podcast. I already was doing it, but now like I have another reason, thanks to you, to love even more being queer in Seattle. So that woman, please, if you guys don't know her through Bo. She is unbelievable. And her music, like, it was mind blowing. And of course, Cheers Seattle. Are you kidding me? They were amazing. They raised the spirit among the people that were there. They make sure like to cheer. They made like a great performance. And all the time with an amazing, beautiful smile. It was late. You party late. But it was amazing.
It was late, but
it was amazing. Also, it was a room full of love.
Slay. Your black lace outfit, looking fire.
Now I'm blushing. People who see the video, will notice it. People who are listening to me, just imagine a neon tomato shape light, and that will be my face with two blue eyes in the middle. That's my face right now. Thank you. I mean, you did tell me, woman, it's a queer party, bring it on. So
you did. I love it. Everyone dressed up. It was so fun.
Of course, we all went there to celebrate you. Like, you ask us to be there, your family, we're going to give it all. It is what it is.
Love you.
I love you.
So before we move on, let's take a moment to ask you to subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on social media. This podcast is all about education, community, and visibility. So we need your help to continue to share this platform with your friends, peers, family, and allies. And with that, we're going to talk about Lesbian Visibility Week, as we mentioned a little earlier, and the history behind it, how appropriate considering there's a lesbian here with us today. Any commentary in general on being a lesbian?
Oh, my Lord. What is not good to say about being a lesbian nowadays? Thank you to all the amazing women, icon, goddesses that build the path that we can walk nowadays and not feel shame when I hold hands with a girl or when I kiss a girl in the middle of Pride or any other week. But Pride, I mean, it's Pride.
All around.
Exactly. But if we look in retrospect, like we should start, like you teach us this week, which not many people knew about the great poet Sappho. Like, she started all that. And that was not yesterday. People have always said that in different times of our history, people would say that this is when, like, all the queerness started. And I'm like, are you sure? And Sappho and her poems about loving women are incredible. Another, like, if you follow beautiful artists like Audre Lorde, Emily Dickinson, everybody was like, no, she was just lonely but had a best friend. No.
All the times throughout history. Like, I think it's,
I love
even like paintings and art.
Two good friends, and it's a woman with one of the breasts out and the other one is caressing her. And I'm like, if these are two friends, man, I need new friends, you know, like, wow.
That's what everyone's doing at brunch, right? Like,
of course, like, who needs Benedict eggs when you can grab a boob? Like, absolutely, please go with it. But yeah, like, it's hilarious because we have amazing icons that future generations, and nowadays, like, it's hilarious when you see girls with 15, 16 now, they're like, I think I might be gay because they see Ellen DeGeneres, and you're like, oh, girl, yeah, you probably are. It might be, she was the person when she came out, and I read about her story and how she was awfully treated by Hollywood and her own like agent, like all the things that she had to do just because she was done hiding who she was. I was like, if she could do it, I think I can, you know, like, And I've always found that woman as one of the most amazing, incredible creatures. I mean, let's be real about it. They're beautiful. Eye or hair color, they're all beautiful and magical creatures. They should be treated that way. I stepped from myself as a bisexual to be aware of my real sexuality did not came because I dislike men, right? Hate men.
Right.
I mean, I had relationships with men in the past and beautiful friendships came out of it. And I, of course, had sex with them because it's what I was expected.
Yeah.
But I really did not enjoy it at all. Like, it was like I knew what I was supposed to do and I knew, or I thought I knew how it's supposed to feel like, but I couldn't make it work. But I was like, I enjoy the conversations. I enjoy their company. I, you know, sometimes I'd make out sessions if they're really good kissers too. But when it came to sexual harassment or like, you know, feel that click, that connection that makes you want to debar the other person, it never happened.
Yeah.
And the first time that I fell in love with a woman, I was 15, almost 16. It was my first love. I was with her for ages. Looking in retrospect, it was a really awful, toxic relationship. But
we were
young. Exactly. We were young. We didn't know what we were doing. I still hold her dear to my heart. She teach me a lot. And she's always going to be my first love. And when I fell in love for the first time, I was like, oh, wait. So this is how you're supposed to feel like. Know what they were telling me. Like, the kisses taste different, and the way that she touched me feels different. The fact that I want to feel her all the time, and it's not just sexually speaking, like, just all that. And it's not that I didn't love my partners before. I dated a girl before this girl before. I did not feel it, and I didn't know why. And then this person comes in, blows my mind. I fall heads over heels with her. I make so many stupid decisions. But we were kids. Kids.
Yeah. Hindsight is always thank much God. Clearer.
But I can happily say and proudly say that I have fallen in love 3 times in my life. This girl was my first love. I have someone else that I fell in love with years later. And recently, you and I know that I came out of a relationship where I was deeply, madly, and irrationally in love with. And I still hold her in a really dear place in my heart. And I will have not changed nothing. Nothing of the relationship that had brought me to be here now. Because even the worst of the worst ones put one more step in the path of keep going. So when people are like, oh my God, if I could go back, I will have never dated this person. No, don't do it. Don't do it because you will be erasing yourself and everything that you have learned thanks to it. Yeah. So don't do it. Just keep going. Go with the punches.
Yeah, go with the punches.
I love that. Great advice.
It is true, man. We are who we are, and we love who we love. And this week, among other multiple special times that we have as queers, it's to celebrate that.
Yeah.
So please keep loving, even if they tell you it's wrong. If you feel it's right, keep loving. Don't let them stop you.
To be totally honest with you, until I was doing research for this episode, I did not realize that Lesbian Week of Visibility wasn't founded until 2020. 2 years old.
We're babies.
It's wild. 2008 is when Lesbian Visibility Day was established, which is April 26th of each year. Again, starting in 2008.
We are babies.
It was created to spread awareness about lesbian stereotypes and judgments and to really create more visibility and representation for queer youth, especially at a time where more and more folks are openly self-identifying as LGBTQIA+.
And I love that the term has spread out to my lovely, beautiful, non-binary people and transgender people because their beautiful souls deserve. I hate labels and boxes, but everybody should feel welcome and feel themselves. And no one should say, oh, no, you're supposed to be this. Please, no.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think that umbrellas are better than boxes or labels. Like just having like an area you can say, these are my people. But you don't have to define yourself within that category.
True. Although, between you and me, let's be honest. Every people is our people. If we see our friendships, like we have known each other for a few months, and I feel like I've known you my whole life. So
forever, yeah.
Yeah.
So ever it's since like the first time we met, I walked up to you and you were at the bar and you were like, what can I make you? And I was like, holy shit, no one makes me things. I've never met this woman before.
That sentence is so wrong, but so right. No one ever makes me things. Wow. Rose, it's not true.
Hey, yeah, that's not true. No one, not no one, but you know what I mean? Like I've never walked into a room before and just had someone be like, how can I help you? What can I get? But you were just like,
well, you know, we met on another proof that lesbian women don't hate men. Please people. Erase that from your minds. We met in my beautiful soulmate's house with the beautiful ginger man. Gay man, because of course, she paid some same pot. They throw him and his partner, Jared, throw the most amazing, stunning, fabulous housewarming party. And I mean, I'm not going to get into details because we all know what happened in that party.
And if you
let's
don't
keep it PG. Just no. Let's keep it PG. Let's keep it PG. It was a wonderful night full of amazing human beings. And of course, I wanted to help him because he's always there for everybody. Day or night, you call him at 2 a.m, 5 a.m, 3 p.m, he'll pick up the phone and be there. And I wanted to help him. And of course, if you're friends with them, that means that you have to be a wonderful human being. Like, they're a great judge of characters. Yeah. So when I saw you and Rose, I was like, okay, they don't have drinks, so we had to fix this. And that's how we went. And from there, we started talking. I think we talked almost like all night, honestly. And since then, we've been brunching, having dinners, having breakfast, having lunches, and many more to come.
We eat a lot of food.
We eat a lot of food. But you also have surgery, so I cannot take you hiking with me until true, you are like true. Full on.
The adventure.
So people.
Dates.
Mm-hmm. Are exactly. Like people, we eat, but we're also healthy. I mean, look at us. We're fine.
We're fine. Plus you have to eat anyways. You might as well do it together.
There you go. Man. Duh. Except when Bull brings you 1,000 donuts and then you're like, what are we gonna do with this? Do you want to take some home? And I'm like, how many do you want me to take home, girl? Like, no.
Well, if you didn't take them, I had to eat them, or Rose, or.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's sharing the Carolinian situations. Oh, no. That was great. It was like, oh, man, my defense, you brought three dinosaur burrito breakfast burritos, sorry, and donut and 1,000 things. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to die or I'm going to roll one out of the two.
Breakfast and brunch is like my thing. It's just I would eat it every meal of the day.
I mean, there's a charm in breakfast for dinner. And whoever said that that's not true, we cannot be friends. I'm sorry.
Very strong stance, but I'm here for it.
Also, people that aren't going to see it through the podcast, but yesterday video, since it's Lesbianville Civility Week.
Oh, perfect.
Exactly. The enjoyment and beauty of females around the world.
For those who are listening, Nana is wearing a necklace that has the symbol for lesbians. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
And with that, I want to talk about the population of lesbians in the United States, because that's something I didn't know before either, and I think is fascinating. And so as of 2020, the census reports that there's about 329.5 million people in the United States. And of that, 2.3 million people, a little over that actually, are estimated to self-identify as lesbian as of 2020. So that number is probably more now, and it's probably way underreported, but that's just in one country, 2.3 million. I think one of the hardest things for queer youth that are coming up is, especially in like rural and small towns, is realizing that there are other people like you and that you're not like this one-off, strange, not acceptable human, that you are like a beautiful, amazing person who deserves everything and more. And I think it's really cool to be able to know that there's that many other people. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. And if you're listening to us and your family doesn't support you, believe me, you're going to have a wonderful community with their arms open, waiting for you, and we will be your family. And if you ever need to talk, if you ever need to pour out your feelings, because not all of us can be as lucky as human beings that have come out of the closet in any way or any determination that they wanted to be, as beautiful transgender men like you, or closeted lesbian woman, or closeted poor country boys that they've been told that loving another man is a sin. We hear, we love you, our arms are open, and we're always listening. And it is what it is.
It is what it is. I love that, but it's and true.
It is. And there's too many factors out there that make their lives miserable when it's not needed. Because no one's hurting anymore.
Exactly.
No, thank you.
I wanted to break down that population a little bit further, because we're talking about kind of showing that this has existed over time. And so I wanted to bring it back to even talking about like traditionalists, which per se is people born before 1946. So like the generation before baby boomers. And it's I love that you're laughing.
It's just funny that you call it baby boomers, because we would literally just say it because of your numbers, that the lesbian visibility, it's the baby.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me to a TikTok video that you sent me that just says, I'm just a baby. It's just kind of the same thing.
That was a great impersonation.
Let's keep going.
So there's an estimated 23 million traditionalists in the United States. So again, people born before 1946. And of those, 0.2% self-identify as lesbian in 2020. So that's almost 50,000 people. I think that's a lot of people first before 1946. Like, how old are they now? I need to do
that. That's a lot of rainbow.
2022 minus 1946. 76 mm-hmm. years or older. That's really cool. I would love to have a conversation with someone who is like an 80-year-old queer.
Oh my God. There is, I'll send it to you later. There's this group of four amazing gay men.
The old olders. Gays.
The old gays. Kudos to them. They're hilarious. I would love if you ever can contact any of them and know their stories, because they are amazing.
I sent their team fun. Emails. But we'll see whatever happens with that. But
I will love that. They're just their Eastern video of them dressed as bunnies of Playboy.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. I said I just love them and I don't know them. Like,
just one of those.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you can look up on TikTok or YouTube, The Old Gays. It started out, I think, as like a video series for Grindr on YouTube. I'm very curious.
No, It's true. But they made beautiful things. Yeah. There was one of the videos that it really warms my heart, is that each one of them wear a dress, and it was because one little boy wanted to wear dresses to school and he was being bullied about it, and the four of them go to see the little boy dressed with one dress, each one of them, and like even twirl to see like the dress move and everything to encourage him. Oh my God, that's so cute.
It was beautiful. So then moving on to baby boomers. So this is folks born between 1946 and 1964. And so there are 0.4% of U.S. baby boomers are lesbian, which adds up to about 300,000 people. So collectively, just people born who are like baby boomers or older, there's like 350,000 of them in the U.S.
Thank you.
Right? Like, thank you for all you've done. And I hope, like, I can't imagine what it would be like to come out later in life, like later in life.
I always feel intrigued when you see outstanding figures in the community that people hate on them because they finally have the courage to say, I'm a gay man. And they attack them by using, but you have children. What were you exactly expecting from them 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
Don't attack them. You know how hard it must have been for them to live a life that is not theirs, a life that they have to pretend and do what is expected from them. And watch out the way you talk. Watch out the way you dress. Watch out the way, don't move your hands. Don't make gestures. Don't be too empathetic with someone because they're going to call you a little sissy girl.
Yep.
Please respect them because they have lived a life that is not theirs and they still have done well by their families. But it's their time to live.
Everyone deserves to be
themselves. Yeah, exactly. Like, none of us know how much time we have. Like, we're not born with an expiration date. So if they finally have the courage to live their lives, don't torment them. Don't make their lives harder. Let them live it.
Absolutely. Drink. That's the tea. I love it. Such support. It's a Oh My God sticker on the water. I'm assuming always. It's water, or is it vodka?
It's Wednesday. I don't know if that makes it better or worse to your imagination, but no, it's just what I've been working out. I need to.
You're being healthy.
Try it. You know.
To just move quickly.
Summer's coming.
Everybody's a summer body.
Oh, I love that quote because it's like they want to say, like, what do you need for your summer body? You need it to be summer and you just need to show your body.
What else can you teach us about baby boomers?
Nothing specifically about baby boomers at the moment.
Well, what can you teach us about lesbians, please?
So moving quickly through the rest of the statistics, because I don't want this to all be numbers, because I know that that's not fun either. But Gen X.
Depending on the number.
That was good. I knew this episode would be funny. So Gen X, people born between 1965 and 1980. In the United States, 0.7% identify as lesbian, which is, again, about 500,000 people. Millennials, which I'm assuming we both are. Yeah, we both are. I know that is a fact. Born between 1981 and 1996, 0.8% identify as self-identify as lesbian. So that's about 600,000 people. So that includes you, now that you're here. Depending on when they, well, no, this was 2020. So no, I wouldn't be counted in this yet, but almost.
And I was here in 2020.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah, I was. Thank you, COVID. Fuck you.
To put it nicely.
Sorry for cursing.
No, curse all you want.
No, just say 2020 took too many things from me. So fuck you, 2020. Well, it was COVID mostly.
Yeah, more than fair.
Mm-hmm. You were saying lesbians.
Ringing in our topic. Last decade of lesbians, or the last generation, I guess, that we have statistics for as of 2020 is Gen Z, which for... Mm-hmm. Folks who are curious, that is people born between 1997 and 2002, an increase to 1.4% are lesbian, and that is just about a million people. So altogether, again, it's 2.3 million U.S. lesbians, ages 18 and up.
What I was going to say, people are going to hate me for this, is for the next time that any of those amazing new souls in our community, they think it's the end of the world and they're never going to love again. There's a million out there, girl. You'll find another one. So don't give up just yet.
I wish there was an accurate worldwide statistic.
Ooh.
Like, that would be really cool to know.
But for those people, should have to be honest. You'll have to do it anonymously. That's when people are really honest.
Well, and for some countries, for their own safety.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, one story. Before I moved here, definitely September for attending college, like you know, we did a march, Pacific March, because a boy that he was 19, 20 year old died because someone beat him so bad that he died on his way to the hospital. And it was not even something that he could have control. He was with a friend on the outside of a club. They were in a video call with another person. And while the friend went inside to get the jacket and everything, he mentioned to the video call, like, oh, honey, you're hot, don't worry, like for encouraging her friend. And this couple passed by. And this cisgender, straight, stupid man. I don't say all of them are stupid, that's why I'm narrowing to this specific one. Consider that those sort of words were directed to him, even though the poor boy explained to him that they weren't. He walked away, and before the friend came up with a jacket, he came back with a few friends, make a circle around him, and beat him so bad that he couldn't even breathe. So by the time that the ambulance, they did the best they could, and they took him to the hospital, he died from the beating that he received. And he did not do nothing. He was just talking with the phone in a video call. Just because he was on the street, and the last words that the other person heard through the phone were directed from this stupid man to this poor boy saying, you fucking faggot are going to pay for what you just did to me in front of my girlfriend.
I have no words.
The rage that it was on the streets, the rage that it was in everybody that we were from the community, the tears were real because we were like, why? You did not deserve to die like that in the street, in the floor.
No one does.
No one does, of course not.
No, that's
but
terrible.
That still happens nowadays.
Yeah. All over.
I'm like, dude. 2021. It's not like even a decade ago. Or if you want to like be, it's not like 5 years ago. It was a few months ago. And they still don't have all the people that actually participate on the beating. Because they built an altar for the poor kid. And the friends of these nasty human beings came back to destroy that too.
Wow.
I was like, God, please, someone record that. I need to know someone recorded that so actually you can find the faces and find the people. The right. investigation is still open.
Wow. I'm
like, this is... It's awful. But that's what we still live nowadays. And that's our reality. So for those who say your life might be easier, think again. Some things get easier, others they never do. And the fear is out there.
And there's like this double-edged sword of visibility where it's like you need the visibility to have the representation and to have to build right. community. Yeah. But at the same time, it creates such a dangerous situation sometimes. And it can
you're exposed
your life.
Yeah.
All because of who you love or are attracted to.
Yeah. It's sad. We could find 1,000 wars and we make jokes about many other things. But when things like this happen, I'm like, you think about all the massacres that have been around the world just because you went out to the club that you love with your girlfriends, with your boo, you're just having fun after working your ass off all week. Someone comes with a gun or a machine gun or whatever, and they don't care. And I'm like, think again. Our life is not all pink. Mm-mm. It's not all glitter and unicorns. We have those too, but
you have to. But it's not the other side of the coin is that.
Of course, nothing that's beautiful. Nothing is perfect. Perfection doesn't exist.
No. Not fun. It's not, it's just like so sad and it's so current and it's so, it just is.
That's why we have to celebrate louder, prouder, and happier that we're still here, that we're alive. And then no one's going to tell us who we can love.
Yeah.
And then it kills me when there's people that throw the question of, why do you have a week of pride or a month of pride? I don't have a pride week or a pride month because I'm a straight man. And I'm like, well, for the start of it, because you're a cisgender straight man who probably have had 2-3 hard times in your life. We have to claw, bite, and climb every freaking step through our history to get where we are. And we still have people and fanatics that it will come and crush the parade and all the hard work that people have put on it, like tainting it with their idea of what's correct and their idea or version about how they can twist religion, which, truth being told, the Bible says, love me the way I love you. And if he has created all of us, he has created us too.
Yep.
I'm not hurting you. I'm not disrespecting you. I am not going to your house and doing a parade in your house. I'm on the street. Well, we have our rights. There's the papers that prove that all this band that I am so thankful to be part of has been prepared and planned with love, caring, and attention.
you are the one coming to destroy. We're just bringing color.
I love that.
And it's true. And it's so sad that this just keeps happening. I'm like,
yeah. There's already been, according to the Human Rights Campaign, at least 11 transgender, gender nonconforming folks killed in the United States this year alone, just in 2022. And it's the end of April.
And we're babies. Exactly. It's like 4 months. It's nothing.
Yeah, it's awful. But that's exactly why there are weeks like Lesbian Visibility Week. So to jump back into that, like we said earlier, it was created in 2008 and it was founded and it's a part of Lesbian Visibility Week, which was founded in 2020, that spans every year from April 25th through May 1st. And this week was founded by Linda Riley, who is the publisher and CEO of Diva Magazine. And according to The Advocate, Linda said that essentially a large part of why she created this week was to bring visibility to the intersectionality of lesbians and the LGBTQIA plus community as a whole. And these are her words. "I'm a proud cis lesbian and a proud trans ally, but many in the LGBTQ plus community were beginning to equate cis lesbians with transphobes, which is fundamentally untrue. I wanted to help create a narrative that shows once and for all that the vast majority of cis lesbians are inclusive. We are intersectional. We want to remove any negative connotations associated with that word. So that's why during Lesbian Visibility Week, we celebrate and center all lesbians, both cis and trans, while also showing solidarity with all LGBTQ women and non-binary people."
Preach.
So I think I can speak on behalf of you too. Encourage you all to learn more about lesbians and nuances in their culture, mm-hmm. and look up, just do some Googling, look up some Instagram accounts. I don't know. It's not that hard to find information.
That's not. There's art and there's amazing inside the world of art. Like for me, I write poetry that it's lesbian romance, most of it, but there's amazing artists that they paint, photography. Just even in your neighborhood, you would be surprised about the amazing amount of queer, wonderful, strong women out there creating a little bit of light in every dark corner that we can find. So go for it, dive in, because you're going to be surprised in an amazing way. Like, go for it.
And we mentioned earlier, Jeannie Rock, great local Seattle lesbian.
Oh my God.
And then my fun girl share...
crush.
Can you share where people can find your poetry?
Oh my goodness.
If you're comfortable.
I have an of course. I mean, what can go wrong? I have an Instagram account that I can perfectly pass you the link later if you wanted to add it to this wonderful podcast, where mostly if you find photos of actual human beings, just go with it and ignore the picture, just center with the words. But it was born from fear. When I came out, I didn't know how to put in how to show my feelings. I didn't know if I was allowed to say my feelings. I didn't know if I was allowed to feel the way that I was feeling. So I started really young writing, mostly my first language, which would be Spanish. But then through the years, as long as I was learning English, I fell in love with different kind of artists, like we have mentioned, Audre Lorde and Maria Dickinson, and many other that I want to bore people with that, because you can Google it, that we just said. And it just inspired me to start doing it. And the person that I was dating, kudos to her, told me that I should show my art. And I didn't even think about it as art. I was like, who's going to want to read me? Why? Like, you could find like 1,000 other different ones, but I follow her advice. So thank you for that.
Great move.
And I started publishing, and the first and best comment that I could have was from someone that she read me for the first time.
And she told me she cried, that she could feel my words so deeply inside of her that she could close her eyes and picture that story happening to her. That I was so good expressing that, which I still lost my mind, someone saying that about my words, that it made her cry. And that was the first thing that I thought, wow, like I have helped someone just by putting down some sentences together and just putting out there. And that's when I also learned other people are going through the same things that you may be going.
That's powerful.
And dangerous. It's very dangerous. The power of words, it doesn't matter. We keep forgetting it and we keep ignoring it. But with one paragraph, with three sentences, you can make someone cry of joy or you can destroy them.
Yeah.
Even with one sentence, like how scary is that?
Yeah. Pretty intense.
It's out there. So if anyone wants to read, then, you know, tell me what they feel, they think, or share their story. I sometimes write for others. So out there.
I love it.
And if it's a hatred comment, just, you know, skip that day. Yeah. If it's a constructive one, please tell me, because I love learning new things every day. If it's just hate, please don't. Just don't.
Not cool. Well, I love poetry and I think it's very expressive and powerful and emotional. And I love it. So.
And I love you for things like that.
And with that, I want to kind of move into more of our Q&A session. And I'm curious, So at one point, for those who don't know, in my life, I identified as a lesbian before I realized I was transgender. And so I have some pretty complex feelings about it. I think that what it means to me is probably a little different than everyone else because I'm still working through and processing my feelings with it. But can I ask you, when is the first time, if you remember, that you heard the term lesbian and what kind of connotation it held for you when you first...
I do remember it. I believe the age is kind of diffuse. I know the trip that I was in. I know the person who said it. The age, I believe it was 11. And it was used more like an attack than a category or anything. It was thrown as an insult by some people that I were playing, the sport that I was playing. We're not going to get into details because we are not going to give them more power than the one that they took away.
Period.
And the issue was that first thing, I had no idea what that word meant. I had no idea how powerful could it be or the connotations or the message that was behind it. Because like I said, they use it as an insult.
Yeah.
It was not something teachable. And they use it because I had such a great relationship with a friend on the team that we would do everything together, including when we will travel. If they were individual beds, we will put them together so we could share. Because these people was when there were no Bluetooth headphones. Back on in the dark ages, when you will have one cable with two headphones. So for those who don't know, Generation C, just in case, we will have for sharing to be close because the cable don't, like, you know, the stretch is the stretch. Like you will move the little plastic thingy all the way down and separate it, but still, it is what it is. And we will do that for having each one of us one headphone and just listen to music to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So when they saw that, and the other girl had a boyfriend already, we're talking between 11 and 13 year old.
Yeah.
And she already had a boyfriend that it was like 1 year and a half together. I was like, what happened here?
But okay. Which is seen as normal.
It's not. At least not for me. When I was 13, I was too busy. Like, okay, don't die. Don't break nothing. Don't make your mom mad. Preach it. so they use this as an attack and break my friendship with this person because they created such a pressure on her mm-hmm. because she wanted to be friends with me. And that's what bullies do. Now, beautiful souls that are listening to us, as you may know. And I found myself without one of my best friends until that moment and being attacked by something that I didn't even know what was it. And I would have never even imagined that I would be one. So my first encounter with this magnificent word that now I embrace, love, and preach was an attack and insult, and it was mean to her.
That's such a shame. I'm sorry that that's how that was introduced. That's meh.
No one chooses how we introduce you to these kind of things, I guess.
And I know you already shared earlier that you were around 19 when you realized that you were a lesbian, but could you share more about when you did first realize?
I started thinking, like I said, my process was slower than I may have appreciated, but like I said, everything is a teachable moment. I started dating women when I was at the end of my 15s, early 16s. Then I fell in love with this girl. She was on my team. And even when we were not in a good moment, I could not picture my life without her. And that's what it taught me, that powerful feeling of, I have a great day. I want to tell her. I'm having a bad day. I need her.
Yeah.
It was the first time that I felt that in my life, that I wanted to share the good, the bad, the ugly, and the pretty with someone. And that's when I learned, first thing, what meant to be in love. And second thing, I might be gay. But I received certain comments coming from some sides of my family that I don't have a relationship anymore. And certain people that I don't have in my life anymore, like, no, I mean, come on, you have been dating guys too. You're probably bisexual. And I'm like, okay. So I basically fall into the wagon of doing what I was told, not what I felt. And when I finally, after having different boyfriends and sexual partners that were from the opposite sex, I was like, I really cannot connect with you. It's not a sexual thing that, of course, it was not even working either. It was the fact that I couldn't feel that. And for me, it wasn't sexual. It was a fact of, I can only see myself fall in love with a woman.
Yeah.
So okay. That's when I learned it. And still, sometimes as jokes as we made, he took me moving to the United States to fully be myself and choose to dress the way I do and not feel ashamed if I want to just go with my bun tied up in a woeful way, no makeup, you know, baggy clothes. And I'm like, this is what it is. I'm sorry. I know you speak something else, but this is what it is.
Yep. And so speaking of that, you grew up in a different country than you live in now. And I'm very curious what your experience was like growing up queer in Spain.
I was lucky, and I am lucky to have the most amazing and wonderful parents, brother, who I came to in different phases. I couldn't see myself facing the three of them. I came to my brother first, which he absolutely supported me. And we may have argued in the past because we were children and beat each other up badly.
Sibling stuff.
Like, oh yeah, pressing catch was a real thing in our house. But he always have told me that he loves me and he supports me and he has proven it to me time after time. So people with older siblings, if you think like, yeah, but this awful relationship, it might get better. I'm not going to say it gets better, because each family is different, but it might get better.
There's a chance.
And there's a chance. Then I came to my mom, and then I came to my dad. And I'm ashamed to say that I was afraid of coming out to my dad. I'm really ashamed because I've seen him being an advocate, and my biggest defender when it comes to anyone trying to attack me or my partner. I was afraid because where I come from, he was from the South. And in the South of Spain, people tend to be more religious. So my dad's side of the family is the kind of beautiful human beings that if you get sick and you're in the hospital, they will bring you, you know, like Virgin Mary or, you know, whoever they're praying in that moment, because it's the image of health or whatever. And they will bring you all these things and put it on the table. They know that you don't believe at all, but they will put it there, you know, like I'm praying for you, not that. And I'm like, I'm thankful. But... And they loved me. They said, if this is who you are, we just want your happiness. I was raised believing in love, believing in affection, and believing in proving to those who you love that you love them. But like we were mentioning before, that was my case. In Spain, I'm not as open of being a lesbian as I am here. I have feel fear of being myself. I feel fear when I notice people looking at me and I'm in Spain. I feel fear about what people will say. And that's a fear that it's real. I know it's born within me, but I cannot shake it off. And one thing, it's in my house and among my friends, I'm safe. And if anyone tries to attack me, I have wonderful friends that literally would beat the crap out of them if needed. But as hard as it might be, I am afraid of being myself when I'm back home sometimes. Yeah. Even though I have amazing queer friends there too. It's not the same thing as in here.
Yeah, especially here, like in the Seattle area. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I even feel similarly about going back to the East Coast here in the U.S. Not everywhere.
It is real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what was it like moving here as a single queer woman?
Well, it was hilarious because everybody was telling me the joke of don't fall in love with an American girl, never come back. which I laugh and I mock the idea of it. I remember my first pride. It was amazing. We're not going to get into details, but it was enlightening when it comes to being myself out there and enjoy the happiness that comes with the festivities. But then in my second year, I fell in love with a girl that I met in a library, and I was doomed. Like, since the first moment I saw her, I was like, oh, fuck. And all these jokes resounded in the back of my head as in, don't fall in love with an American girl, never come back. Don't do that. Like, just go do the job that you have to do and come back to us. And I fuck it up. Like, I was like, oh, fuck. And it was beautiful. As it lasted, it was beautiful. And then it was a broken heart. But again, I wouldn't have changed it. I have beautiful memories and beautiful photos. And we're not going to get into details because we're not talking about that. But it was great. It was freedom. I don't have other word to say it. It was freedom to put my rainbow on my neck and go out to the street. It was freedom of, I'm going to get my cap, put it backwards, and go live my life. It's freedom of, there's one song of the amazing, wonderful, fabulous, and glamorous Todrick Hall. That's called Both. And I have never felt more identified with a song than that song, because I could be dressed like a queen, like in the party that according to you, I is late. Shame on me. Or I can be wearing a backwards cap and wearing basketball pants. I can be wearing a super open, almost my boobs are going to say hi to you, shirt with a leather jacket. Or I can be wearing a suit with a tie.
And I could not do that until I was here. So that was freedom. And I don't think many people understand that. Those who have been lucky enough to be born here in Seattle,
yeah,
and always have this freedom, I don't think they can taste it the same way.
Yeah.
Until you have not been scared on a corner because they are saying, while you're holding your partner's hand, you are not a lesbian, you just need a good D. When someone threatens you and your safety just because you want to hold hands, people need to understand that.
Yeah.
And that is not everywhere. What was for you to come out to Seattle? I'm like, every time you tell me the story, I'm like, Jake, that he did. Because we wouldn't have met if not.
Yeah, same. Very much same. Amazing. So let's talk about stereotypes. And then I have one more question for you. And then we'll do our affirmation and close out.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Do you want to just go do my one by one, each one of us? Because I feel like you will have also like great stereotypes. For starters, people on the world, please listen to us. Never ask to a same-sex couple, who is the man and who is the woman? Oh. We don't work that way.
I knew you were going to say that.
We don't work that way. We don't need no one. Exactly. I'm like, we don't need no one telling us where we're supposed to be. Why can't we not just both be whoever we want to be without putting that? Like, no.
Yeah.
They made this super hilarious emoji that it was a fork and a knife talking to two chopsticks. And I was like, so, you know.
That's good.
Who's who? And I'm like, it's the same thing. We do not need, I mean, it is true that in every relationship, one's going to be more caring than the other one. One is going to be more comfortable cleaning than the other one. But you know what? It's all about talking. I cook, you clean the dishes. We're going to do the house duties half and half.
Exactly. I hate gender roles. They make no sense. Who's to say that a man can take out the trash any better or worse than a woman?
And dude, if you put me a basketball, I'll do triplets. Like, I don't care.
And that doesn't account for anyone who doesn't fall into that binary system.
Thank God. Like, who said that a woman cannot be a good mechanic? One of my closest friends, I will not only trust her with my life, I will give her my car and be like, do whatever you need to do with this and fix it.
Yeah.
And then one of my closest, do you know who I trust my makeup with? Spencer.
I'm not surprised. I could see why. Yeah.
So please stop gender roles. A man can be an amazing nurse. A woman can be a stunning mechanic. A girl can kick and run as good as a guy can kick and run. Please stop.
Yep.
Nerd stereotypes. Oh my God, there's some of them. Okay, lesbian woman, we don't hate men. There may be some of them that do it, but that's another issue that they have. It's not real. Also, just because I'm a lesbian, I don't like every single woman that has been done in creation.
Preach. That's like a serious one.
Also, we don't stare at people in the locker rooms. It's not like this is a candy season. I'm more concerned about, please, like, I have to be somewhere. I just work out. I have maybe 1 hour for working out, doing my shit and leaving. I'm not going to spend that hour staring at a woman. We are all built the same way. Some have a better wrapping, but it's the same thing. So stop that.
Yeah. And for any queer people, even for men in men's locker rooms.
Exactly. I mean, or a woman has to always dress like lesbians dress like men. That's bullshit. We have 1,000 beautiful kinds of lesbians. Not everybody dresses like a butch.
Yep.
I consider myself tomboy. There are some amazing, beautiful, lipstick lesbians out there. Mm-hmm. There's 1,000 of different combinations out there. Please don't put that in a box. Because I promise you, a man will not be wearing the corset that I was wearing the other day. They won't do it. Some men would, but they're gay men.
Yes. Or very, very comfortable metrosexual men.
There you go. That too. Or if you're Harry Styles. But I mean, gay men's like, this is not a phase. Please, parents out there, if you're listening to my amazing friend Bo, this is not a phase. This is part of their identity. It may grow like in a better and bigger way, or it may not. But when you tell someone that it's a phase, the only thing that you're doing is undermining their feelings. And the only thing that you're going to make with that is that your own child is not going to come to you when they're having an issue or when they're trying to figure it out who they are, because they're going to be afraid of you or embarrassed of you. Don't do that.
Just going to close your own lines of communication.
100%. And no, people, I am not a woman that has never had a good D. I don't need to be cured. I don't need my gay to be pray away. Please stop.
Please stop.
No.
Yeah, no. I love that. I feel like you're just like dropping nuggets of like good advice and information.
For any other question, please contact me.
Beautiful.
I'm like,
So the last question I have for you today is, if you could tell your younger self anything about being a lesbian or being queer in general, or really anything, what would you say to her or tell her?
What I will say to many me, as it may sound as a like a made up sentence, hold on tight. You're going to have your heart broken so many times, and you're going to think your world's going to end. You're going to think that you're never going to feel the way that you're feeling, but you're wrong. And you're going to find amazing friends that are going to join on your way, and you're going to make your life richer, and they're going to make your life brighter. So just hold on tight. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty. And you're going to be like really scared sometimes, like beyond scared. But you'll get there, and you'll get to a point that you love us and they're going to love you. So buckle up, because shit's going to rain. But you'll find a better way, even if it's not where you are right now. And when I moved here as an international student, I saw the light and I was like, okay, so this is what I was fighting for. So get an umbrella, because shit's going to hit the fan hard. But after that, the rainbow will come.
Heyo, pun believe.
Heyo.
I think that's incredible. And I think a lot of people will be able to relate to that. So thank you for sharing. And thank you for being so vulnerable and open. I really appreciate everything you had to share. And
it will help me later. Once I acknowledge the fact that these words, the sentences are going to be out there in the world, I might regret it later a little bit, but hey, it is what it is. And if even like, your purpose of educating people and helping people, if I have contributed, even if it's one to be, it was worth being vulnerable, like you're saying.
Great person. But we already know that.
Some people forget.
I can't please everyone. Or get-
oh, that sentence I've heard her before. We have this cisgender straight man.
Sounds about right.
Also, last of stereotype people, so you can live with a smile. Gay men and lesbian women may not be able to naturally have kids, but we love to try. And there's amazing, wonderful babies out there, that those beautiful straight couples that they can come in a Walmart cart, they give it those babies to us. So don't judge. Because just because you have two daddies or two mommies, it doesn't make worse of a baby.
Right? Not at all.
Mm-mm. I cannot wait for you guys to start like making me the cool aunt.
I was just going to say that'll be us someday.
I'm going to spoil those. Like,
I can't wait. Well, folks, it's time for today's affirmation. As you know, we'll be ending every show with an affirmation because we often, as queer folks and humans in general, don't give ourselves the chance to feel our full potential, to feel empowered, and to always feel like we're quite enough. So you are, and we're both here today to remind you of that. And today's affirmation comes from Love What Matters, and I think it's a great one for any and everyone to work on themselves. So it's a little bit of a long one. So there's going to be a few parts, so get ready. But repeat after me. I am a human and worthy of life.
I am a human and worthy of life.
I deserve to live free of fear.
I deserve to live free of fear.
I deserve to have dreams and aspirations.
Yeah, I deserve to have dreams and aspirations.
I deserve to be treated with respect and adoration.
I absolutely deserve to be treated with respect and adoration.
Hell yeah. One more time.
Hell yeah.
I am a human and I am worthy of life.
I'm a human and I'm worthy of life.
I like having someone to say it back to me.
You never had someone saying back to you? You told me that I had to.
Well, I've only started affirmations in the last few episodes. So you're my second guest with them and Rose didn't. So you can.
I'll do it for both of us.
Thanks. They deserve, or they appreciate it. Let's start this one again. Sorry, everyone. I am a human. I am a human. I am human and worthy of life.
I am a human and worthy of life.
I deserve to live free of fear.
I deserve to live free of fear.
I deserve to have dreams and aspirations.
I deserve to have dreams and aspirations.
I deserve to be treated with respect and adoration.
I deserve to be treated with respect and adoration.
All right, y'all. That's it for this episode of Bo My God. Thank you so much, Nana, for joining us. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your truth and your experiences and your feelings. It's beyond appreciated. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and follow along for more of your favorite queer and trans content. We're on most social media platforms at Bo My God Pod. Check us out at www.bomygod.com. where you can find out more info and purchase some Bo My God swag, like stickers, like Nana's on her water bottle, hats, shirts. There's some cool things there. And thanks. We love you and we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.